Rec Center in Hernandez. Colleagues, we also have just a one housekeeping item, which is the adoption of the committee rules. We do have a quorum. Let's establish it. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
De Leon?
Here.
De Leon here. Walters?
Here.
Walters here. Gaines?
Here.
Gaines here. Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Laura?
Here.
Laura here. Padilla?
Here.
Padilla here. Steinberg?
A quorum has been established. Colleagues, the first order of business will be to adopt the committee rules. The committee rules have been distributed to the members beforehand, and they're also in your packets. I want to underscore and highlight that the committee rules are identical to the rules that were adopted in the last session. If there's no discussion, and without any objection, Madam Vice Chair, we may move forward to adopt the committee rules. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Leon?
Aye.
De Leon, aye. Walters?
Aye.
Walters, aye. Gaines?
Aye.
Gaines, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Laura?
Aye.
Laura, aye. Padilla?
Aye.
Padilla, aye. Steinberg?
That is six ayes, no zeros. We'll leave the roll open for our pro tem, Mr. Steinberg. Madam Vice Chair, thank you very much. Senator Hernandez, welcome. You have SB 2 in the first extraordinary session. Welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. Let me first start off by thanking you for allowing me to present, but also let me commend you and congratulate you on being Chair of Appropriations. Well deserved. Mr. Chair, members, on March 23rd, 2010, President Obama signed into law comprehensive health reform legislation, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as the ACA. The ACA is the most transformative piece of legislation passed since the Medicare Act, and is expected that millions of Californians will be eligible for private health care coverage as a result of this major piece of legislation. While the ACA establishes new health insurance requirements, changes in state law are needed to conform to those requirements and to give enforcement powers to state regulators. I've introduced SB 2 in extraordinary session number 1 to do just that. While California has a history of strong consumer protection in the group market, these protections have largely been absent in the individual market. As your analysis points out, there is an impact to the general fund. However, it is a small impact given the significance of this necessary bill. And with that, I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you very much, Senator Hernandez. Witness in support, please come forward. Obviously, welcome.
Beth Capel on behalf of Health Access California and also AFSCME. Happy to be here in support of this important measure. Today, Californians can be denied health insurance on the basis of a pre-existing condition. Premiums for health insurance can be priced higher for those of us with health conditions. This bill takes the steps forward necessary to conform to federal law and assure that all of us will be able to buy health insurance, because today some of us cannot buy health insurance at any price. It also, in what is becoming our California tradition, improves somewhat on the federal law in that it allows smokers the opportunity to continue to have affordable coverage so that they will be able to get the care that they need, including tobacco cessation. They're not able to be here today, but the Cancer Society and the Heart Association supported for that reason as well. And so we are pleased to be here in support.
Thank you, Ms. Capel. Any others in support? Any others in support? Seeing none at this moment. Opposition? Any opposition? Please come forward.
Thank you. Janice Rocco, Deputy Commissioner at California Department of Insurance. We have an oppose unless amended position on this bill. This is an important bill. We're certainly working with the author and his staff. We're supportive of most of the provisions in the bill, but the oppose unless amended provision position that we're taking is based upon the provision to do with geographic rating regions that would cause rate disruption of up to 23% for policyholders. So that's our position. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mr. Chair and members.
Let's go through the opposition and then we'll go into questions. Mr. Gaines.
Mr. Chair, members, Nick Luizos with the California Association of Health Plans. Will be brief. Working cooperatively with the chairs of both houses, we've been able to enact a number of ACA implementation bills. that are moving reform forward in California. We are opposed unless amended to this particular bill. The issues were aired out yesterday, but basically just to list our points of contention at this point is we believe there needs to be stronger linkage between state law and the Affordable Care Act on some of the market reforms that are in SB 2. We also feel that California should move forward with the 19 rating regions that were enacted in the small group coverage market via AB 1083 of last year. And also we've supplied some amendments to the author that would address some other concerns that we have with existing state law and some obsolete statutes that we feel should be revisited in a new market reality. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Luisa. Next.
Stephanie Watkins, on behalf of the Association of California Life and Health Insurance Companies, we too have opposed unless amended position on the bill and share many of the thoughts that have been previously stated. We hope to work with the author and staff as it moves forward and look forward to a productive process. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other opposition? Anyone coming up for opposition? Seeing none, we're going to open up now. Mr. Hernandez to questions from the committee. We'll start with Senator Gaines.
I just was concerned about the if there's no rate differential for tobacco or pre-existing conditions, you're going to drive premium costs up. And so how are we dealing with the rate increase when we transition into ACA? My estimate that I'm hearing is that rates are going up 30%. And so we've got a cost, you know, we're talking about inclusion, 100% inclusion for coverage for folks, but you're raising the rates simultaneously. And I'm just worried about the viability of the plan out in the future, given some of the positions that are being taken as we move forward.
Well, with regard to the pre-existing conditions, the federal requirements require that every state adopt those, so we have no choice. That's part of the Affordable Care Act. What the state does have...
Okay, but you can accept someone with pre-existing conditions, but I guess I'm looking for clarity on the rate. Should there be a rate differential so that someone's getting the coverage, but should it be the same rate as people who don't have a pre-existing condition?
You know, the rates are going to be set on what the market bears. And then there's also going to be what's called a 3-to-1 differential, which means that an elderly or senior individual is not going to be charged more than three times of what the youngest individual.
Right.
You know, when you look at the cost of health care in the state of California and, of course, in this country, the state of health care is going to be the cost of providing that care. And the success to this is going to be is to try to get as many individuals as we possibly can into the exchange to make sure that the exchange is successful so that you can spread the risk and spread the and the cost. Mm-hmm. There is going to be some increases, and there is going to be increases in a small segment of the population. The increases are going to be based on several things. Number one, the federal government is requiring that we have what's called the essential health benefits. The essential health benefits was signed into law last year. It was my bill as well as the counterpart bill in the assembly by the governor. So you're going to have richer benefit packages. So where you're going to see increases is, say, someone who is purchasing a product right now, which is a catastrophic product, high deductible, and a lower cost, now they're going to be buying a much larger and robust product. But what you need to understand is where you're going to see individuals who, for example, have pre-existing conditions, someone who is, say, 55 years old, who is diabetic, now is going to be getting a much more robust product, but at a much lower price, because in the past, they were locked out of the market, they couldn't buy insurance, it was too cost prohibitive. So you're going to see kind of a stabilizing in the market. But the absolute most important thing and the success to this is to make sure that we get as many individuals into the exchange as possible.
Okay, and if they don't participate, then their concern is that, let's say they have the pre-existing condition, they get diagnosed with something that's catastrophic in terms of cost. They don't enter the system until they have the diagnosis. What happens to your cost differential?
Well, first of all, everyone is going to be mandated to purchase health insurance. It's the federal law. And if not, they're going to be there will be penalties for that. If you look at the pre-existing condition, it is those individuals that are going to be seeking the care to make sure that they get the proper health care.
Okay. And then just finally, and I'm done, but thank you for the time. I appreciate it. On the tobacco issue, it's very different than what we do in the life insurance side of things, because we make a determination. We have a separate rate for those who are tobacco users versus non-tobacco users, and it's a dramatic rate increase. From my standpoint, those are decisions that are made by individuals, and you know, if you quit smoking, you're obviously going to have a healthier life. And so should that cost be borne? It's a philosophical right. question. Should that cost be borne by everybody, whether you're a smoker or not?
Right. And I say that's where we can agree to disagree. And with the exception of the pre-existing condition, which is mandated under federal law, tobacco is the only issue that it allows the states to choose whether they want to include it or exclude it. I really believe from a public policy standpoint that if you exclude it, therefore, it's going to be more cost effective for individuals who are smokers. Without it, they are going to be priced out of the market, and then they are the individuals that aren't going to be buying the health insurance. And then exactly to your point, it's going to be those individuals that are going to wait to the last minute. They're going to have lung cancer, they're going to have catastrophic disease that they're going to be purchasing, because then the insurance company is not going to be allowed to deny them. That's where costs are going to go up. By averaging in within the market, it's going to make it more effective, and you're more likely to get those individuals to purchase that health insurance.
Okay, I'm just worried about the rating in general. What's going to happen to rates overall?
Rates overall, as I mentioned, can and potentially will go up for a lot of reasons, because of the 3-to-1 ratio and also because of the essential health benefits.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, Senator. Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments, editorials from folks?
I just want to make a comment. You know, I might be able to support this if this piece of legislation was just conforming with federal law. But since it's not and it's going further, I'm not going to be able to support it. And also I'm concerned that this is a work in progress. It's going to be sent over to the Assembly. It's going to probably be amended significantly. So I'll be voting no today.
Thank you.
Move the bill. There's a motion to move the bill. Before we move the bill and open up the roll, just want to make one quick comment, Senator Hernandez. Obviously, the governor called a special session on health care reform, and the purpose of your measure, similar to the measure that you introduced last year that was vetoed, obviously minus the tie-back component of SB 961 from last year, is to enact implementing legislation as soon as possible. What's coming down the pipeline and the horizon come October, so we can enable the regulations at the DMHC as well as DOI. Obviously, you'll be working with all the stakeholders and the governor's folks. So I do recommend that, apologies for that. I do recommend with my colleagues that we move this bill out of the committee and to the Senate floor today rather than holding it on the suspense file. So we do have a motion that's been made by Senator Ricardo Lara. Madam Secretary. please call the roll.
De Leon?
Aye.
De Leon, aye. Walters?
No.
Walters, no. Gaines?
No.
Gaines, no. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Padilla?
Aye.
Padilla, aye. Steinberg?
4 votes, aye, 4, no, 2. The measure passes. Mr. Pro Tem will add on later. Senator Hernandez, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members.
This is all the business we have today. Therefore, this committee is adjourned.